Man.
And I can take all my burdens to him. And you know, Brother Miller, I wake up every night, usually if it's somebody or something, that is something's on her mind. Usually when we go to bed at night, that's what we really think about it. But I'm glad that I can talk to the Lord of the night, of a daytime, anytime. He never goes to sleep, but his mind's never busy. I'm thankful for that. I thank God for a good day today. I thank the Lord that everybody's here.
Amen. Bless you, Sister Treva. I thought about a man today that I met years ago. His name was Enos. And I thought about him when Brother Wheat said what he did about not being able to forget when you were saved. This is I believe that because of something I experienced years ago with this man. I met him at a nursing home. This happened in 1982. I had been preaching, I believe, about a year and a half, and I was preaching at a couple of different nursing homes there in Greenfield, Indiana, where I lived. And at one of those nursing homes, there was a man there named Enos. And most of the time when I went there and held services, he never said much of anything. But one night I went there to hold service, and I would have to go, and I would have to lead the songs, and I would have to do the preaching and all of it. And so one evening I went there to hold the service, and while I was leading a song and the people were singing, he started walking back and forth across the room, throwing his arms up in the air and shouting. And I had never heard anything out of him. And after he did that, he started talking about the day that the Lord saved his soul. And so naturally, after we had the service, I wanted to sit down and talk with Enos, and I did. We sat down on a couch together, and we were talking about that, and I can still quote today word for word what he told me. During the conversation, he looked at me and he said, "Brother Miller, I can't tell you where I was living a year ago, but I can tell you about the day the Lord saved me." That's what he told me. And he said, "I've never forgot that. Forgotten other things, but never forgot that." And it does make quite an impression on your heart. I want to share some scripture with you today from 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you would like to read with me. I want to begin with verse 32. This is where we have the account of David facing Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 32. Let's read together. "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth.' And David said unto Saul, 'Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And I want to stop my reading there with verse 40. Now, I don't want to speak to you today about the battle between David and Goliath. My subject today will not be upon the great faith that David showed in going out to face this giant that was much bigger than him. But what I want to talk about today is what happened between David and Saul and the armor. And the title of my message today will be Proven Weapons. That's the thought that the Lord has burdened my heart with to share with you today. Proven Weapons. I want you to think with me today about proven weapons and about proven armor. David was a simple man, certainly at this point. He was just a lad. He was living the simple life of a shepherd boy. And you know, there is a lot of simplicity in Christ and in the things of Christ. You know that the things that God gave us in the Scriptures and the plan of salvation that the Lord made whereby all could come to the Lord and be saved, there's a lot of simplicity in what the Lord did and a lot of simplicity in His teachings. But David lived a very simple life, and you know, Saul was absolutely right about what he said to David. David wasn't a professional soldier. He wasn't a trained soldier. When Saul told him that, when he said, you are not able to fight against this giant because you are only a youth and this man has been a soldier from his youth, Saul was right. I mean, David, by his own strength, was no match at all for Goliath. Goliath had everything to his advantage. And certainly we would think that when Saul took that armor and put it on David, you would think that it would have been a comfort to him to know that he was protected with a coat of mail. Now, I don't know exactly how this worked because I don't know exactly what kind of shirt or coat that this was because I'm not sure how that it would have fit both Saul and David. Saul was a very big man. The Bible tells us that he stood a head above the other men there in Israel. He was a tall and a big man. But yet he took this coat of mail and he put it on David and he gave to him his armor. And David, the Bible says in verse 39, David girded his sword upon his armor. And we read these things and we might safely assume, as I said, that these things would have given consolation to David, to know that he was being given these weapons and this armor to go out and to face this giant that he was going to face. You know, Goliath had the weapons. Goliath had the sword. Goliath had the spear and the shield and all of those things. And so we might read this and think, well, certainly that would have made David think that at least that would have evened the odds somehow. But it didn't feel right to David. That armor that Saul put on him and that sword that he gave to him just did not feel right. That wasn't what he was used to. That wasn't what he was acquainted with and what he was comfortable with. And he determined that he would not take those things, that he would not even attempt to use those, not because he was ungrateful. I mean, it wasn't because he was unthankful for what Saul was trying to do for him. But the reason that he said that he could not use them was he said, I haven't proved these things. And I'm persuaded to believe that the way that the conversation went here and the things that David said to Saul, I'm persuaded to believe that David had used that sling and that little shepherd's bag effectively before this time ever come. I believe he had something there with him that he was used to, something that he was comfortable with. I believe that before this time that, and we can read in this and know as a matter of fact that before this time ever come that David already knew what it meant to win the victory through the help of God. He knew what that was like already. You know, those of us who have been saved, you know, if you really stop and think about it, and honestly, those of us that are here today that have been saved, I believe if we're honest, we would have to admit that though the day of salvation was the greatest blessing to all of us, that there have been many times that God has blessed our lives in many ways since then. That God has bestowed His goodness upon us in many different ways and at many different times. But it certainly shouldn't be hard for us to believe that there's still victory today in the Lord, should it? Sometimes it seems that we forget about the things that the Lord has proven to us. But has not God proven Himself in your life? Hasn't God showed you enough in your life for you to know that He's real, for you to know that He's with you, for you to know that He walks with us and He protects us and He supplies our every need according to His riches and glory? There's not enough devils in hell today or anywhere to convince me that God's not real. He's been too real in my life. He's proven Himself too many times for me to possibly doubt that. I know that God's real. I know that God saved my soul. I know that I'm going to heaven. And I know that He walks with me day by day here in this world. But David took this armor and he said, Saul, I can't go with this. I don't know whether it'll work or not. I haven't tried it. I haven't proved it. I know one thing, that I do believe that there was something that Saul's armor represented. I believe Saul's armor typified something. I believe the armor of Saul and that sword were typical of man's reliance upon himself. I think that's exactly what Saul thought when he gave those to David. Here, these will help you. This is what you need. You need this coat of mail. You need this sword. You need this shield and this spear and these things. This is what will help you against Goliath. But that wasn't true. And it's not true today. We need what God has to give to us. When the Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, when he commissioned his church, when he came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Did you know when Jesus gave that great commission to his church that he supplied her with every weapon that she would ever need to go and to carry out the commission that he had given? We're talking today about proven weapons. So David told Saul, he said, "I can't take these. I haven't proven these." And he laid them aside and he took his sling and his shepherd's bag and he went and he got those five smooth stones and he took with him what he was accustomed to carrying. I believe that David knew. And I'm not saying that he was relying upon the sling or the stones. But I believe that David knew that when he went out there and faced Goliath, that those would be an effective weapon. He had used it before. He knew that when he took that sling, and it's, you know, it's my understanding from what I have read that even in recent times that shepherds in that part of the country still carry a sling. Even in recent years, they were still doing that. And I believe David knew and had experienced that he could take that sling and he could take that stone and he could sling that sling and let it go, and God could direct the stone to the target before he ever went out and faced the giant. He knew it. He knew what would work. I'm thankful today, and this is what I wanted to share with the church here this morning. I'm thankful today for the weapons that God has given us. I'm glad that he did not send us out unarmed. And you may read this account of David and Saul, and you may think, well, David was really brave because he went out there to face this professional soldier that had all these weapons, and he went out there unarmed. But that's not what David did. He didn't go unarmed. He went out there armed with exactly the weapons that he needed. And we have been given by God the weapons that we need to fight the battle. Now the Bible teaches us that we are in a battle. We are in a war. Listen, the church today is fighting a war. We are fighting against terror today. There's terror without. We know that there's been a lot of natural terror around us here in the last few years. And terrorists I heard Brother Junior Moore in Georgia preach about terrorism, spiritual terrorism, and there is a great terror that is within. And we today, as the Lord's church, we are engaged in a spiritual war. And we have been for years. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about our weapons. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, he said, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." The sling that David had and the stone was a carnal weapon. It was a material weapon. But the battle that we are fighting, you know, the giant that we are facing today is not flesh and blood. David was facing a giant that was flesh and blood, but the one that we are battling today is not flesh and blood. And that's exactly what Paul wrote about that warfare when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not fighting somebody. You know, David could stand there in front of Goliath and he could see him with his natural eye. And we can't do that. We can't see the one that we're fighting with our natural eye, nor can we defeat him with a carnal weapon. I'll tell you what, you try to fight the devil carnally and he will beat you. He will whip you every time, but there are weapons that will work against him. There are weapons that are effective against him. And who would have thought, that a young boy, I'll tell you what, if you ever get to thinking, if you ever get down and out, and you ever get weak in faith, and you ever get to thinking that there's just something ahead of you that you just can't win, just go read about David facing the giant Goliath. I mean, if that won't encourage you, I don't know what will. Who would have ever thought that a little shepherd boy who knew little, it seems, about life yet, he knew enough to know that God could defeat anybody. If God be for us, who can be against us? David wasn't relying upon himself. He certainly wasn't going to rely upon those weapons that he had not proven. But when he went out there to face Goliath, his reliance and dependence was upon the help of God. And who would have thought that a little youth with nothing but a sling and stones could bring down a giant that was over 9 feet tall? I'll tell you what, it's all right to be 5'9" in a 9-foot world if God's with you. That's all right. God can make up the deficiency. And so we look at this and we look at these things and we realize that this doesn't make any sense to the carnal mind. It doesn't seem logical to the carnal mind at all, but we're not fighting a carnal fight. We're fighting a spiritual battle. I'll tell you what, if the devil's not fighting you, you need to get to work for the Lord. Because he will battle you, he will fight you, he will do everything that he can to keep you from serving God. And friend, listen, if you're going to stand against him, the reason that so many of God's people fall and the reason that so many of God's people get defeated by the devil is we wear the wrong armor when we try to face him. There's things that have been proven to work. You know, those things that the Lord gave to the church, has she not proved them through the years? Has the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and those weapons that he left with her, has she not seen them work through the years? You know, I don't understand. To be honest with you, there have been so many situations where people have taken up the armor of Saul and laid down the armor of God. They laid aside what they were used to. They laid aside what they knew. They laid aside what had been working and what had been effective, and they took up the armor of Saul and they put it on instead. And that's why we have so many false teachings in the world today. And that's why there have been so many churches that were once good, sound, solid, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching churches that have gone by the wayside because they took up the armor of Saul, or of Saul rather, and laid down the armor of God. Something they weren't used to. You know what? The gospel is the sword of the Spirit. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. That was one of the things that the Apostle Paul mentioned in his writing there in Ephesians chapter 6 when he said, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to have that word of God with us, which is the sword of the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 1:16, and he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And that has worked, friends, through the years. It has been effective in the hearts of people throughout the years in bringing them to the Lord. God gave his church the truth, and he gave to her the promise that the Holy Spirit would always be with her. And I'll tell you what, that's what we need to use today. We need to just keep using today the weapons and the armor that God has given us. We don't need a change. You may agree with this today, or you may not, but I'll preach my convictions about it. We don't need a change. God gave us everything we need. We don't need to lay down the sling and take up the coat of mail and the sword, because we know the sling works. So many churches, I'll tell you what we could do today. Listen, members of Fairview Memorial, I'll tell you what we could do today. We could fill this house to overflow. We could fill this up with people to the point that we would have to have a new place to meet. I'm telling you, we could do that in a short time if we were willing to lay aside the principles of some of the things that we stand for. If you stop requiring people to be able to give a testimony of the time and place that God saved their soul in order to become a member of the church, if you let them in on just anything, I'll guarantee you that you'll gain the masses. You know what? It works for everybody that does that. When people lay aside the truth and they're willing to cater to what the people want, it works. It works in building big crowds. It sure does. But you know what? I'd rather just keep the sling in my hand, wouldn't you? I'd rather just stick with the gospel, the true unadulterated gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and just preach the old time gospel, because in my life and in my ministry, I have seen it work. I have seen the gospel preached. I've preached the gospel myself and heard it preached. And I've witnessed the Holy Spirit power of God taking the truth of that gospel and planting it down in people's hearts and convicting them of their sins and stirring their hearts and showing them that they're lost and drawing them to God to where they begin to seek God. Along the way, people got in a hurry. They got in trouble. Churches got in trouble because they didn't want to wait on God. You know, we were here last week until 2:30 in the afternoon while people were seeking the Lord. And you know, as far as I know, by their lack of testimony, none of them found satisfaction. None of them went away knowing that they had got things settled with the Lord. But I'll tell you what, friends, I'm content to let them come again and let them seek the Lord until they know that they've been saved. It's not something for me to interfere with. It's not for you to interfere with. That's between them and God. And I'll tell you what the truth will do. I'll tell you what the truth will do if you stand for it and you practice it. It may not fill the house with people, but those that get it, they got it. You let a person seek the Lord until they're satisfied, and you'll have happy people, and you'll have people that are not deceived. You'll have people that have come to know the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. These things have been proven, and they're effective, and they work. There was a time, Brother Wheat spoke a little bit about the nation of Israel in Sunday school this morning. You can read the second chapter of Jeremiah, and they just changed everything. The question was asked, hath a nation changed their gods, which are no gods? But my people have. They changed everything. They left God behind, and they started worshiping idols. They started worshiping everything else. And the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 36, the prophet Jeremiah asked them the question, why gaddest thou about so much to change thy ways? Friends, I'm telling you, there's things that God set in place in His church that have no need of being changed. No need. Do our customs change? Well, sure they do. Do our traditions change through the years? Well, certainly they do. But God set truth and principles in His church that have no need of change. How many today here could stand and testify that you know that the truth of the gospel was effective in your heart? You know what works. We know what God has given us. And friends, listen, I would rather worship the Lord. I'd rather be in a church, among a church, and I'd rather worship the Lord with 200 people that know the Lord and that know what old-time heartfelt salvation is about, than to be able to worship with tens of thousands that don't have any idea what they're even worshiping. I think that's no doubt why David loved the assembly of the saints so much. There's truth there. We've got something in common, don't we? We've got things that have been proven, and we know what works because God has showed those things to us. So put on the whole armor of God. Let's turn, before I close, let's read beautiful scriptures together. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You want a sinner to find the Lord? You want a seeking sinner to find the Lord? Don't interfere with them. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Pray that God will help them and give them His grace and give them what they stand in need of. So I'd rather stick with that that's been proven. I'd rather fight than switch. We don't need change. We need to just take what God gave us and use it. Use it. I'll tell you one thing, the Holy Spirit of God will honor the truth. The Holy Spirit of God will bear witness to the truth, but He will not bear witness to a lie. And He will not bear witness to deception. And that's why when people get what they call salvation through another means, then they don't have Holy Spirit conversion, because He only bears witness to the truth. So I thank God for the weapons that He's given us, for the effectiveness of those things, and they're still here today, and we still have them to use, and the gospel is still being preached. The truth is still being preached. We may feel defeated sometimes, we shouldn't. The gospel is still going out to a lost and dying world, and it'll work. Don't ever underestimate the power of the truth. We need to just be willing to preach it and wait on the Lord and allow God to do His work in the hearts of people. That's my message today. I hope it's been helpful. I hope it's been a strength to you, and somehow that God will use it in that way. I wonder if there's a word at all on anyone's heart.